Good morning, Lagos. This is Weeba Boor on Nigeria Info 99.3 Power Solutions. Today we have another lovely episode with the CEO of Rubitech Solar, Bolade Soremukun. We are very pleased to have him on board. He's one of the longest serving people in the solar industry in Nigeria. So it's an honor to have you here today. So good morning.
Thank you. Good morning.
All right. So let's kick off right away. We were having a great conversation outside about the long journey you've had in the solar industry. Other people that I've interviewed on the show started maybe 5 years ago maximum. I think you've been doing this for 20-something years.
Yes.
And you still look like you're only 35. So you started when you were very young. But if you can tell us a bit about the journey. I know you said you started as a pharmacist and you ended up in solar almost accidentally. So maybe if you can tell the viewers your story of how it evolved.
Thank you very much, Weeba. Yes, I'm a pharmacist and I used to work in the pharmaceutical industry. In the late 90s, I was one of the senior executives in SmithKline Beecham at that time. Today is called GSK, GlaxoSmithKline. And one of the products that we sold were vaccines. And you know vaccines have to be kept in cold storage between minus 2 and plus 8 degrees centigrade. So I left towards the end of the 90s and started my own business, pharmaceuticals, basically. But while I was doing that, one of the things I wanted to do was to see if I could continue to supply vaccines to the government in Abuja. And but I could not do that for some other reasons. But I was asked to see if I could supply solar vaccine refrigerators. And my first reaction was, what do you mean solar vaccine refrigerators? Apparently, simply refrigerators that are powered by solar systems. So I needed to know more about solar. So I went off to the UK, met a couple of people, and they took me through what a solar vaccine refrigerator looks like. And the fact that WHO and UNICEF, they have a standard requirement of specs for such vaccine refrigerators. And so I met with a company and I spoke to them. I had a crash program in being taught what it looks like and how it works. And I went back to Nigeria and eventually I began to buy some solar vaccine refrigerators that conform to the WHO standards from them. And when I supplied some of them, I was told, we want you to install them, not just supply them. I said, well, that's a new one. And so I had to hire technicians. I had to get someone to train them. Luckily, some of them actually knew about solar because they did it in school. So we installed quite a few.
And this was the late 90s you're talking
about?
This
was late 90s,
wow.
Early 2000s.
Okay.
The whole thing was like, a couple of years of it.
Okay.
But more like early 2000 when we started trying to install the vaccine refrigerators. And so we did it all over the country, Far East, Northwest, Northeast, South, and all that. And then we are required to also maintain them. And so
okay.
I kept the engineers with me. But after a while, we could not get any more new orders.
Okay, so were government, the government paid for them, paid for the maintenance and everything like that?
Yes,
okay.
Government paid for them.
Okay.
Yeah. So after a while, things dried up, basically.
Okay.
But because I had my first pharmaceutical company, mm-hmm. I was able to survive.
Okay.
And we kept on going with pharmaceutical company. Then I had an idea. Why don't I stimulate the market myself?
Okay.
Why don't I organize conferences and exhibitions in solar? So I did it for 3 years in a row.
And were you a lone ranger at that time? Were there other people kind of working in the space, or was
there were a few people in the space?
Okay.
I was able to get some people to take exhibition stands. I was able to get speakers from the Ministry of Science and Tech, Ministry of Energy, and mm-hmm. so on, NNPC. Some of them supported us with some money. I got the first ever foreigner, a Chinese company, to also come for exhibition.
Okay.
Yeah. This was like mid to late 2000s.
Okay.
And today they are still in Nigeria. They're still trading and they're doing very well.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, they're doing very well. And so after about 3 years, I had an appeal from my staff. I said, boss, please stop doing these conferences. I said, why? He said, because we're not making money. We're actually losing money from these conferences. And then you are actually stimulating it for the whole market, not just for yourself. So I looked in my bank account and I agreed with them that it didn't make any more sense.
Right.
So I stopped doing the conferences. But at that time, we had formed CREN, Council for Renewable Energy in Nigeria.
Okay.
In one of the conferences, supported by a lady that came from Europe that was working for one of the agencies. I don't quite remember the agency now. And so I stopped doing that. And then we had more business started getting better gradually, mm-hmm. but it was still mostly governments and state governments.
Okay. And then so why weren't agencies. Private companies buying the equipment? What was the block?
I think really there just wasn't enough demand for solar.
Okay.
There was not enough knowledge, there was not enough demand. People did not see it as an alternative for having electricity. Even today, we still have people that doubt whether solar works.
Right.
And they think that it's only good enough for lighting for a fan or for charging your phone. Mm-hmm. But they don't realize that solar can actually be done in megawatts and can power whole nations and whole villages.
Right, right.
And so that was part of the problem at that time.
Right. Okay. And so all of the business at that time was basically government and international agencies?
Yes, that was it.
Okay. So now 2019 is a very different picture.
Yes.
So where did the change happen? Was it sudden? Has it been gradual? Was there one particular thing that happened? What was the...
I think there were several things that happened. Because we're a first mover, almost first mover, people knew us in the industry. Mm-hmm. And so back in 2016, I think thereabouts, we had a call for papers and to apply for grants by international agencies. Basically, it was GIZ. Mm-hmm. And so we did a competition and we put in a proposal to do a mini grid. We knew little about it, but we put in anyway.
Okay.
And somehow we found ourselves in a shortlist.
Okay.
And then the few of the five companies that eventually did the mini grid.
So that was the first sort of big donor effort to kind of help the industry take off. It wasn't until 2016.
Yes, not until 2016. Wow. Before then, we just did for individuals, continue with our solar water pumping systems and solar streetlights. And really, that's how we survived.
Okay.
But the real serious business began when we worked with GIZ and USAID in the Nigerian Energy Support Program.
Okay.
And eventually, after a couple of years, we came out of that. We learned a lot and we installed our first mini grid in Gbamu in Ogun State.
Okay, so now talk about this. So you run, Rubitech runs one of the most popular mini grids in Nigeria because it's the easiest to get to from Lagos of all the mini grids. So I know that you're hosting people all the time there. But tell me about the mini grid itself, about the community, why it was selected, and how it's transforming them.
An interesting thing was that before we actually started work on the mini grid, because I also have a consulting firm called BS Consulting, we worked with a European consultant that did the initial study of Gbamu.
Okay.
So we actually went in there, not realizing that eventually we were going to develop it, and collected data. Mm-hmm. Wanted to know what is it that you're using now, how much does it cost you, what are the things you use it for, do you use it for lighting the home, do you use it for productive activities, commercial activities, for example, like grinding cassava, mm-hmm. and things like that. And we got all that data. So when we actually now started working on it, that was the most important thing really, is you need to know your community. Mm-hmm. What do they do? How do they make money? Mm-hmm. What are the activities they're involved in? How many are they? And so on and so forth. So we collected all that data and we made an estimate of what their power requirement was going to be. And from the estimate of the power requirement, we designed a mini grid, which comprises of a solar panels, inverters, batteries, and just a generator for a backup, but it wasn't used normally to supply electricity. After designing that, we also designed a grid. And the grid in Gbamu is about 5 kilometers long, believe it or not.
Okay.
A population of about 5,500 people. A number of households was about 600 households, which is already growing now.
Right.
And so we engaged the community, met with the leaders, told them what we wanted to do, give them an idea of how much it was going to cost. And they agreed to it. We signed an MOU. We got the state government involved also. We signed agreements with the state government and also with GIZ, USAID, that's the NESP group. And from that point on, we started trying to raise finance. We actually spent a year going around the banks in Lagos and making presentations and discussing with them to see whether we could
raise. So once again, you were the pioneer trying to raise money for something no one had ever heard of.
Yes.
Okay. And what was the response you got?
Not successful.
Okay.
And then there was a recession in 2017.
Right.
And so you know, two things working together: high interest rates, banks not willing to lend to something that's so new about mini grids. Never heard about it before. It was too risky for them. And so eventually, a friend of mine, one of the German agencies in Nigeria, not GIZ now, it's called HK, invited a company from Germany that is involved in crowdfunding.
Okay.
They're called Betterverse. And they said, okay, let's come and talk to people in Nigeria. Let's see whether we can lend them some money. And so they came to a seminar and we presented our ideas. And eventually we discussed and we signed off on a loan with Betterverse of Germany.
Okay.
So there we were. We now had a loan. We had our equity. Now we also had a grant from the NESP2 program. And so we're able to put together our project, our financing of our project. And then we eventually commissioned it February 2018.
Okay. So now this has been operating for a year. So this community had no grid connection, no power.
Yes.
Tell me, what is the community like now, a year later?
Totally transformed.
Okay.
I must tell you, they have more electricity than you do in the urban areas.
Right.
The light has not blinked one day since that time.
Okay. 24-7. 24-7,
they have electricity and they're happy. And we now find that more people are coming to the village. We have more productive users, people producing, grinding palm kernel, cassava, plantain, and so on and so forth. And commercial centers, they have a DSTV center there. And they saw the World Cup last year. They had a great time. You know, so, and they actually have prepaid meters.
Okay.
So we have also an agent, a bank agent in the village.
Okay.
So they give their money to the agent. The agent transfers it to our account. Automatically, once it transfers, because we have their meter numbers, their light comes on or is credited so that they are not cut off at any point in time.
Right.
And so that's been going on smoothly. We have our IT. From the office, we can see what's going on. So we can monitor things and so on and so forth. So it's been quite interesting. And in terms of consumption of electricity, it is increasing because of increased activities and because more people are moving into the village.
Right. And so there's no issue with collections? People willingly pay?
No issues with collection. They pay, you know, prepaid. Basically.
Okay. Yeah. So if you don't pay, you don't get power?
Yes.
Okay. And why aren't the discos doing that?
I'm not sure I can answer that question very well because I'm not a disco, but I think they're stuck with the traditional way of doing business. They're stuck with having a power plant somewhere in the Niger Delta, which is passed through a transmission system, which now comes into their grid, and they now try to distribute it. And they have not been able to get the right tariff that they want. And they've also not been able to have efficient distribution system to distribute, and then they don't have enough metering.
Right.
Okay. And so there are so many things that are not right with the DISCO system.
Right. Yeah. So they have too much legacy, which then as a mini grid you don't deal with because it's all new.
Yeah, it's all new. Okay. We don't have that legacy at all.
So let's use that as a segue then to talking about another sort of thing you did as a pioneer. A couple of months ago we saw in the media that Rubitech had signed an agreement with Benin DISCO, other mini grid companies have been talking about this, but no one had actually done it. So tell us about that and how. I think most people see mini grids as a competition to the discos. In this case, you found a way to actually work with them. So what is the nature of that and how is that going?
Well, in my company, I was looking for ways to be innovative and to do things better. And from the regulation that had been prepared by NERC, we found that we could do two types of mini grids. One is the isolated mini grid, in other words, like Bamu Bamu, where there's absolutely no grid around there, and the other one's interconnected. In other words, there is a grid, however, it is not energized. There's no electricity passing through that grid. And so we decided to look at that also, and we contacted a few discos, but BEDC actually gave us an open door to come in and discuss it. So we started a discussion, and it sounded right. They had some communities that were not having electricity. We had some kind of agreement. We took them through the regulation and how we're going to work. We had some assistance with an American consulting firm, and so put everything on the table, and then we were able to sign the NDA and an MOU.
Okay.
Now we have identified the village. We are now looking at putting together the financial modeling that's going to work for that place. And that's exactly where we are now.
Okay.
Well, in the meantime, we are also talking to another disco right now.
Okay. Yeah. So, and what's I can see the reason why the disco would want to do this, because obviously, as a mini grid operator, you know how to get closer to the customer.
Yeah.
But what is it? What's the advantage for you? Isn't it better that you stay completely away from them and do the completely off grid? What's the advantage to you of collaborating with them?
When we looked at that sector, we found that probably there's a lot more Nigerians or Nigerians that can afford it who are living under the grid. In other words, they have a grid running through their villages, their towns, but there's no electricity.
Mm-hmm.
And so we felt that that also will also require a greater amount of investment.
Mm-hmm.
And also because there's already a greater amount of business, mm-hmm. in Africa, and put it that way. And so we looked at it and we felt that this was an opportunity that could seize.
Mm-hmm.
We like being pioneers.
Yeah.
We like to be the first in. And that is helping us a great deal. We actually have interested investment companies who are looking at that with us.
Okay.
And they're willing to support us in it.
Okay. Well, we have to talk on that.
Yes.
Okay. So let me give out the phone numbers in case somebody wants to call who has a question for Bolade.
Yes.
The numbers are 01-277-0993 or 01-277-1993 or 01-227-2993, 01-277-3993. So I hope you all got that. So again, 01-277-0993, 01-277-1993, etc. So if you have a call, call in, and Bolade is here to answer your questions. Do we have a call already? We do. Okay, go ahead. Good morning. Good morning. Can you turn your radio down? Okay, go ahead. What's your question? All right, go ahead. Go ahead. We lost the call. Okay. Do we have another one? Okay, go ahead. Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. This is Paul calling from Ijesha.
All right.
Yeah. It's quite interesting listening to your guest over there.
Okay.
I actually studied electrical in school and getting to the house. Powering, having a mini grid powered by solar panels is a great innovation. But I want to ask him a question. Coming from the urban area like Lagos, where you have so many places under some of the discos like Ikeja and Ipo, how can this company come into partnership with this kind of people in installing solar panels to power up businesses to actually improve the rate of outcome businesses making their profit in Lagos apart from the ones they have in the rural area? So that's my question for you.
Okay, Bolade, would you like to answer?
Okay, thank you very much. The thing about solar is that solar works everywhere. And in a place that's got high density, like in Ikeja, for example, you could put solar on the roof of a business or a household. And what we call a solar PV hybrid. In other words, it will be connected to your house, but also connected to the disco's distribution system. So that when the electricity goes from a disco, automatically your solar takes over. And that's the installation I have in my house. That's the installation I have in my office. So it's pretty simple to do it, but the owner of the house has to agree to it, and it doesn't bother the disco at all. It's like having a generator in your house. Okay, and your generator comes on automatically, or you switch it on when the disco light fails. So that's exactly how solar works in the urban areas.
Okay, do we have another question? Do we have another caller? All right.
Hi.
Go ahead. Good morning. How are you?
Hello, good morning, sir.
All right. What's your name?
My name is Engineer.
Okay, do you have a question?
Yes, my question is this solar system, is it possible to operate it in an estate where the power consumption is close to about 31.6 MVA? Is it possible?
Yes, of course it's possible. The only limiting factor is space to install the solar panels. So we've got to visit the... I beg your pardon.
A private estate, of course, we can have a solution for that.
Yes, a private estate. So if you do have space, we could do two things. We could actually put the solar system in one location and then feed it into your internal distribution system. Or we could actually put it on every roof in the estate. I mean, all these things are, they have to be analyzed financially and economically and technically also to see what the best solution is. So yes, it can work.
Okay, please, maybe you give us your address maybe at the end of the program.
I believe it will be provided at the end of
the session. Can go ahead and give your website and whatever contact information the people would need to connect with you.
Okay. Can you take down this email address?
Okay. Go ahead, please.
That's info.
Info, yeah.
At rubitechsolar.com. One word. R-U-B.
Okay.
I-T-E-C.
Okay.
S-O-L.
Okay.
A-R dot com.
Okay, I'll do that. Okay, I'll send an email to you, sir.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
All right, fantastic. Okay. Thanks for calling.
Okay.
Okay. So now let's continue our conversation. I know in addition to all the other things you're doing, you also have a training company. And you know, capacity is obviously going to be a big issue because this is a new industry. So maybe you can tell us a little bit about your training company. And what kind of opportunities you see in this space for young Nigerians looking for jobs and opportunities?
My training company is called BAS Consulting, from my initials, and we formed BAS Consulting many years ago. It was a management consulting firm, but now we focus on renewable energy. In addition to that, Rubitech has formed Rubitech Academy. And the purpose of Rubitech Academy is also to give training in renewable energy and solar systems. And starting from this year, we're going to be taking young graduates from Nigerian universities, and we are going to train them for a year. And we are going to, after that, we hire them or we just release them into the market, and they could be hired by elsewhere. But by that time, they have enough capabilities to be able to do solar and to understand what the market is all about. So those are the two things we're doing. Right now, we have four training programs. One is called Solar PV Installer. The second one is called Solar PV Installer Supervisor. That's a higher level for somebody that already has some experience.
Somebody have to take the first course to take the second one? Or
he could, if he has experience already in doing installations, he can just go straight into the second one.
Okay.
Then we have the one we call Mini Grid Developer. That takes you through the very first course of its type in Nigeria about mini grid, because mini grids are unique. So it takes you through everything that has to do with mini grid, the initial studies, the research, the data collection, the financial modeling, and of course the design and installation of the power plant for the grid, for the village. And that is three. And then we have two in the energy area. There's the energy advisor, and there's the energy management. Those have to do with energy. And so those are the five courses that we have available right now. And I'd like to publicly give thanks to the GIZ, USAID, and NESP, who also provided us with the materials and information concerning the training.
So what about, so if young Nigerians are out there listening and they're thinking about their career ahead of them, is this something that there's space for a few hundred Nigerians? Is it thousands? Is it millions? How many people does the industry need? Will the industry need? What do you think?
I will confess, I cannot tell you how many people the industry needs, but I think where we are going, we need thousands and thousands of solar engineers to be able to scale up and to meet the needs of the industry and of the customers that require it. If you would like to register for any of the programs, or at least just want to make yourself known, you can go to our website, www.rubitechsolar.com. I repeat, www.rubitechsolar, that's RubitechSolar.com. And when you get to the website, you see a button that says Rubitech Academy. Just click on Rubitech Academy and then you'll be able to register.
Okay. And is there any particular undergraduate degree that people should consider taking before, or with the courses you're offering, one can sort of, I mean, you're a pharmacist. Can someone come in with almost sort of any background and quite quickly pivot into a solar career?
If you want to be in the technical area, you need to be an engineer, electrical, or even mechanical engineer. You could have a HND, or you could have a BSc in that area. That would be much better for you for the technical aspect of it. However, if you're a business person and you want to do mini grids, you can come for the mini grids course. You don't have to be an engineer for that.
Okay.
I don't take part in the technical aspects of my business.
Right.
I have people that do that. I take part in the overall business. But right. I have an understanding now of some technical aspects of the business.
Okay, that's good to know. I'm actually trained as a historian, and so I'm also in the off-grid business.
Yes,
so
yes.
You can come from many different sides. So I think we're running short on time. So I wanted to give you just a minute or so to kind of give your view to the listeners of where we're going to be in 3 to 5 years when it comes to solar and off-grid energy. Is there hope in Nigeria that our power problem is going to be solved?
Thank you. Well, I have a vision for the power industry in Nigeria. And very quickly, if we look at what it is today, it's like the United States and Europe, where they started from. They started off by having a power plant. It could be hydro, it could be gas, it could be whatever, solar, hundreds of miles away somewhere in the jungle. And then they have a long transmission line that takes the power into a city or a town. And in that town, you have a distribution line. Now, this is going to change. It's got to change. And I'm looking at, in future, in Nigeria, we need to have what I call a distributed system, distributed electricity industry, where you can generate electricity from anywhere and can distribute it to anywhere. In other words, I can have power on my roof and sell it into the grid. I grab power in my village, and any excess power, I can put it into the grid. Wherever you can generate power, you send power to other places. And that is what's going to revolutionize Nigeria. And that revolution is already taking place in Germany, for example, and some parts of the United States of America. That is my vision. And I think we need to begin to put things into place, maybe regulation and so on, to be able to achieve that vision for Nigeria. We are not going to get the power we need from the disco. It's not going to work. However, we need to change our thinking, and we need to have a different way of looking at the power industry.
All right, so the future is looking bright, literally.
Looking bright, yes.
Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Bolade. This has been a fantastic conversation. I know our listeners have learned a lot, as of high. So thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
All right, so Lagos, goodbye for this morning, and we'll be back next week for another round of Power Solutions.
This is Nigeria Info, 99.3.
More news and information coming up. We'll be back in a moment.
Yeah, what's up? What's happening? My name is Faust, a.k.a. Faust.
Hey, what's up, everyone? This is Tia.
Hey, let's talk about the upcoming elections.
Things are far from perfect in our country, and there is a lot of work to do. That's exactly why we're excited. It is our chance to vote in our choice for leaders.
It can seem like a single vote doesn't matter, but you're wrong. It does. It's priceless and should not be sold. It's your voice. Use it.
Let's vote based on the candidate's proposal to fix the economy, create jobs, fix healthcare, education, and more.
And after the elections, ask questions. We won't accept empty promises.
Make sure your voice is heard. Go to www.one.org/vote-your-future to sign the Youth Declaration.
We're back.
We're back.
We're back.
We're back.
We are back.
We're back on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Your reliable station for more information around Nigeria.
Why you dey ask me if I love you? After all other things where I don't do. You suppose know by now. Why you dey ask me if I miss you? If you know dey by my side, you didn't mean like say I won't die. You suppose know by now. Say, only you will get my heart. Even though you know go talk, I'm, I no say you dey think I'm. Baby, baby, oh, baby, why you come dey fear? Say one day I go disappear. Why you dey worry, why you dey vex? This love we get, nobody fit contest. You suppose know by now, say now do you ain't get my heart. Even though you no go talk, I no say you dey think I'm. De fear, say one day I go disappear, baby, baby. Oh, oh baby, why you come de fear? My life I go always love you. Everything way I don't promise I go do. You suppose know by now. You suppose know by now.
Nigeria Info, the talk station of the nation. Let's talk.